on, true crime fans. I'm your host, Heath.
And I'm your host, Daphne.
And you're listening to Going West.
Hello, everybody. Big thank you to both Abby and Jay for recommending today's case. We have been absolutely mind blown and beyond disturbed at the continuous details that are being released on this story. I cannot believe that we haven't seen anybody talking about it because the details are that unbelievable, and this just happened a few weeks ago. And I want to say, too, our hearts really go out to Sade's family for everything they've had to endure these last few weeks.
Yes, and please, please make sure that you guys share this one.
Yes, please, and oh, hello, we reached 400 episodes. I cannot believe we've covered so many cases, but Heath and I will be here continuing to bring you important stories that need all of our attention.
And we couldn't have gotten here without all of you guys. So thanks for sticking around with us and continuing to support this show.
Yes, we love you guys so much. So without further ado,
all right, guys, this is episode 400 of Going West. So let's get into it.
Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
In April of 2024, an incredibly bright and beloved 19-year-old woman went missing after going on a first date with a man in Milwaukee. When her dismembered leg was found off a bluff of Lake Michigan and her car ablaze on the other side of town, security footage and phone pings helped police uncover her killer, only to discover what they described as a sex dungeon in his basement, with blood leading down the stairs. This is the story of Sade Robinson. Sade Carlina Robinson was born on May 10, 2004 in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Her parents, Sheena Scarborough and Carlos Robinson, were never married, but Sheena claims that they co-parented their daughter lovingly and amicably. When Sade was almost 2 years old, so a year before her sister Adriana was born, her mother Sheena moved them up north to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is where today's story takes place. But they would make frequent trips back down south to visit Sade's father. Sade's dad, Carlos, eventually relocated to Cape Coral, Florida, and Sade grew up between the two. Sheena has always been her daughter's biggest fan and strongest advocate. She described her daughter as a beautiful soul, saying that Sade was special and like no one else she had ever met. Sheena added proudly, quote, "We are light workers. We put out positive energy. We exert, we help others. I'm a community advocate. As a personal way of my life, the way I live, I've worked for others. I help others my whole life. I've raised my daughters that way. My daughters have excelled." She described Sade as hardworking and self-sufficient, and that she would never think of hurting anybody because all she wanted to do was put good into the world. Her father, Carlos, agrees, calling Sade kind-hearted and remembering a time when he handed her an allowance as they were on their way to an outdoor fair, and Sade handed it right over to a man asking for help on the side of the road, and he called that a perfect example of her good soul. Sade spent a stint at Ida S. Baker High School in Cape Coral, but as she got closer to graduating, she decided to settle in Milwaukee with her mom permanently. Sade was an excellent and highly motivated student and actually graduated a semester early with honors from Riverside University High School. Wanting to be an advocate and fulfill her need to help those around her, Sade decided to study criminal justice, enrolling in Milwaukee Area Technical College, but her mom Sheena claimed that she was considering going into the Air Force when she finished her studies. Sade was just a month away from graduating college with her associate degree, which was set to happen in May of 2024, a day that should have coincided with her 20th birthday.
In the meantime, Sade worked at a restaurant called Pizza Shuttle on the east side of Milwaukee, where her manager Justin described her as the heart of the operation. Justin says that she was beloved by customers and coworkers alike, saying, quote, "She was very outgoing. She would talk to everybody here. She was always there to lighten the mood." And Sade would regularly bring out pizza to homeless people in the neighborhood, always just thinking of others. Her mom, Sheena, speaks glowingly about her daughter's headstrong and independent nature. She moved into her own apartment right after graduating high school, and she had been supporting herself as well by putting herself through college ever since. She loved to host there and cook meals for her friends and family. In addition to her job at Pizza Shuttle, she held down a position at the prestigious Wisconsin Club, which is a private social and dining club where she worked with her sister Adriana. Alongside working and going to school, Sade loved to travel, whether it be Jamaica, Atlanta, or New Orleans. Sade last saw her mom, grandparents, and sister on Easter Sunday, the day before she disappeared when her family gathered for the holiday. The following day, which was Monday, April 1st, 2024, Sade got ready for work in the morning while chatting with her mom on FaceTime. Now, in addition to speaking daily, Sheena was able to track her daughter's whereabouts if she wanted to by using Life 360, which is an app. But there was one detail of her upcoming day that Sheena didn't know about. Sade had a date that night. She even apparently told a maintenance worker at her apartment building that she was excited about meeting this guy. Now, it's not clear how they met, but it's been speculated that it was either via a dating app or by meeting at the bar that he worked at. But regardless of the circumstances that brought them together, by the next morning, her friends knew that something had gone terribly wrong.
On Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024, Sade didn't show up for her shift at Pizza Shuttle and hadn't let her coworkers or manager know, which I think we can all tell by now is something that never happened. This had not even happened once before. So puzzled by this, her manager Justin spent all day calling her in hopes of reaching her and just seeing what was going on. Friends, family, and coworkers also called and texted her continuously, but never heard back. But some of her friends noted that her last social media post had been a Snapchat from the evening before while she was at a place called Duke's on Water, which is a sports bar located on Water Street and Juneau Avenue in downtown Milwaukee near the Milwaukee River. Sade's Life 360 app, which by the way is known as a family location sharing app, had last been updated at 4:33 a.m. that morning, and it showed her location at a park south of the city. So not only can nobody get in touch with Sade, but now they're seeing that her phone last updated at 4:30 in the morning near a park. So that is just heavily adding to this eerie feeling here. Growing increasingly alarmed, a friend reported her missing at 9 p.m. that evening, about 24 hours after she had last been heard from. Police stopped at her apartment to perform a welfare check, but they found it empty and undisturbed, meaning whatever happened to her didn't happen in her apartment. Meanwhile, that morning, a car had been found on fire, and after containing the flames, police were tasked with finding its owner and determining why it had been set on fire in the first place. At 7:32 a.m. on the morning of April 2nd, so about 10 hours since Sade had last been seen, the Milwaukee Fire Department responded to a call about a vehicle fire near the corner of West Lisbon Avenue and North 29th Street in West Milwaukee. The car in question was a 2020 Honda Civic with Wisconsin plates. And by the time the fire was extinguished, the car had sustained extreme damage, decimating the entire interior. Now, no human remains were found inside, but when officers were able to crack the trunk open, multiple personal items were recovered, which they believed belonged to the owner of the vehicle. Like, inside the trunk was a black puffer coat, light-colored ripped blue jeans, a white t-shirt, white shoes, and a grayish-brown colored purse. And they also recovered the smashed remnants of an iPhone. So all of this being found in the trunk particularly obviously looks really weird. This is a woman's outfit and her purse and a broken iPhone in a burnt-out car. And upon their search of the DMV records, the VIN number, or the vehicle identification number, connected them with the car's owner, 19-year-old Sade Robinson. And the items in the trunk were later confirmed to be what she was wearing on her date on the evening of April 1st. But get this, a witness in the area at the time claimed that they watched a man exit from the driver's side of Sade's car and tossing a lighter on the car before it was engulfed in flames. But the next piece of the puzzle would prove to be even more disturbing.
At 5:29 p.m. on Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024, nearing 24 hours since anyone had heard from Sade, a pedestrian in a park south of the city came upon a horrifying discovery. So, Warnemont Park is a sprawling outdoor recreation area on the banks of Lake Michigan in Cudahy, Wisconsin, which is about 9 miles or 12 kilometers south of where Sade had last been seen publicly with her date. Parts of the park boast stunning views of the lake from cliffs that slope into the water. I mean, it's just an incredibly beautiful area. But while strolling this stretch on that foggy, misty morning, a pedestrian walked by a pump house and spotted what looked like a human leg near the shoreline of Lake Michigan. It had fallen about two-thirds of the way down a bluff that stretched 100 feet.
So it didn't even, like, wash ashore. It was seemingly thrown off the cliff and didn't even make it into the water.
So obviously this person is confused and horrified, so they called the police. And when the police arrived, they determined that it was, in fact, a female human leg. And it hadn't started decomposing yet, which meant that it had been placed there in the last few hours. The leg belonged to a black female who stood at about 5 feet tall, and her toenails were painted pink. So this information came right alongside the report that Sade's Honda Civic had been found burned out 45 minutes north in the Midtown neighborhood of Milwaukee. A few hours later, her missing persons report had been filed. And soon, DNA would confirm that the leg belonged to 19-year-old Sade Robinson. So police set out to locate the rest of her body, as well as whoever the hell committed this unthinkable act against her. And connecting the dots between the date that Sade had on the evening of April 1st with a 33-year-old man named Maxwell Anderson, the breadcrumbs of sloppy evidence that he had left behind, with the security camera footage showing him covering his tracks all over the city, was an expeditious task for investigators. But even they were left wondering, how and why did this happen? Well, using the text messages exchanged between the two and the location data from Sade's phone, investigators were able to lay out a much clearer schedule of events that led to her murder. They say time waits for no one, and neither should payday. To keep your money moving in the direction of your dreams, get Earnin'.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. All you gotta do is download the Earnin' app and verify your paycheck. Meaning, if it's not quite payday and you need some extra cash to pay that bill on time or take that person on a date, Earnin' has your back.
Earnin is helping millions of Americans feel self-sufficient without falling into debt traps by simply accessing money from your upcoming paycheck.
Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Going West under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. That's Going West under podcast.
Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Spring is here and the weather is warming up, so it's time to refresh your wardrobe, which Daphne and I both just did with Quince.
Quince offers timeless wardrobe staples that will keep you looking effortlessly chic throughout the entire year, with items like premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts for just $30, washable silk tops, and so much more for men and women.
The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, so you're getting high-quality items for less. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices,
which we love. Heath just got some great sunglasses, t-shirts, and shorts from Quince, and I got some amazing linen jumpsuits and tops. Everything is so comfortable and fashionable.
It really is. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goingwest for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/goingwest to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/goingwest.
Heath and I are major sufferers of seasonal allergies. They are the worst. It can even be difficult to host this show when our noses are all clogged up. We have tried brand after brand, but luckily, for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. And big shout out to Claritin for supporting this show and providing us with samples.
Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better.
I feel like I sneeze all day long. I always have an itchy face, but now I can actually go outside in the grass and not have a sneeze attack or be stuffed up thanks to Claritin D. Are you ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription.
Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so that you can live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Thank you.
On Monday, April 1st, 2024, at 4:15 p.m., Sade texted Maxwell saying, quote, "Where are we meeting? I can do 5. Then Maxwell asked, quote, "Downtown somewhere?" Sade agreed, and Maxwell suggested, quote, "Brought House on 3rd? Sade agreed again, saying, quote, "Perfect." Maxwell sent back, "Okay, I'm going to shower quick. I'll probably get there more around 5:15. Are you hungry? I need to stop at Twisted Fisherman to pick up my W-2 from last year, and we could eat there first." Sade said back, "Okay, and yes, are we eating at Brought House or the other place?" To which Maxwell responded, "Let's eat at Twisted. I'm feeling seafood." Sade agreed, "Yes, I love seafood." He said back, "Sounds good. I'm about to leave. I'll be there soon." And by the way, Brought House is described on Google as, quote, "a historic venue evoking old Milwaukee with German and Wisconsin fare, local brews, and a beer garden." But since they ended up going to Twisted Fisherman instead, that place is described as, quote, "relaxed riverside eatery serving crab and other seafood fare plus tropical drinks."
So nothing here really sounds out of the ordinary. Like, it sounds like a normal text conversation. He's saying, you know, "Let's meet at this place. Let's get some food. Are you hungry? I need to pick up a W-2. So nothing alarming here at first look.
Yeah, it seems like a casual date that they're about to go on. So Maxwell texted Sade again when he arrived at Twisted Fisherman, to which Sade responded, "Okay, are you inside?" He confirmed he was, and that was their last text exchange before meeting in person at 5:18 p.m. The two sat at the bar at Twisted Fisherman in Southwest Milwaukee, ordering food and drinks, and security camera footage captured what looked like any typical first date. And the bartender confirmed their presence as well, saying that the two seemed to be getting along. Before Sade got there, Maxwell had spoken with a former coworker to obtain that W-2, like he said in the text to Sade, and told them that he was staying there for a date. At 6:30 p.m., the two left Twisted Fisherman and headed to a second spot, Duke's on Water, again the sports bar, where Sade sent her last Snapchat from, after Sade drove the two of them there in her car. Then at 9:06 p.m., they can be seen on security cameras leaving the bar. Now, surveillance footage, either from a neighbor's camera or from Maxwell's house itself, shows the pair arriving at his house in Sade's car at 9:24 p.m., 18 minutes after leaving Duke's on Water. And Sade's Life360 app proves that her phone was there as well. 3 hours and 24 minutes after they arrive at Maxwell's house at 12:48 a.m., Sade's phone leaves Maxwell's neighborhood on the south side of Milwaukee and travels north through downtown, ironically even passing through the vicinity of Sade's apartment. Now, obviously, if there is footage of them arriving at Maxwell's house, again, like I said, either from a neighbor's camera or his, I'm sure there is footage of who exactly is seen leaving, but there is still a lot of stuff that hasn't been figured out or released since this just happened. Now, 45 minutes later, at 1:33 a.m., Sade's phone pinged in Pleasant Valley Park, which is north of downtown Milwaukee, situated right along the river. A half an hour later, around 2 a.m., her phone leaves the area and head south to Warnemont Park. At 2:53 a.m., surveillance footage from nearby Cudahy High School captures what appears to be Sade's car passing by on its way to the park, headed toward the pump house on the east side of the golf course. At 3:02 a.m., a figure is spotted descending the steep bluffs of the park that lead down to the water. And remember, it's off these bluffs towards the water by the shoreline that Sade's leg was later found. Later that morning, after the discovery of Sade's burnt-out car, an employee for the city of Cudahy reported that it appeared as if someone had used their car as a battering ram to open the locked gate that was shielding the service road that led to that pump house in Warnemont Park, meaning someone had pushed a stranger's car into the gate to get it to open. Upon examination of the debris left behind, it appeared as though it had been left by a Honda Civic. And the pieces were later matched with the front of Sade's Honda Civic, which had sustained the damage before being set ablaze. So all of these connections are being made. Then at 4:31 a.m. that morning, the car can be seen leaving Warnemont Park. And just minutes later, Sade's phone either died, was broken, or was shut off. For the next 3 hours, Maxwell's whereabouts are unknown. Then at 7:29 a.m., he was picked up again on surveillance footage, hastily walking away from the scene of Sade's abandoned burning car, which the fire department reached just 3 minutes later. Video footage from inside a Milwaukee County Transit System bus clearly captures Maxwell, clad in a gray hoodie and a tan backpack. He gets off the bus at a stop near his home and is then pictured arriving home at 8:43 a.m. after being gone for over 8 hours. And it's really interesting to have all of this information. There's so much surveillance footage, phone pings, witness sightings. Like the fact that we know that he got home via bus, this comes up a lot in cases where a body is dumped and there's always that question of transportation. Well, if they dumped somebody's car and or their body, how did they get home? And he took the bus.
Yeah, typically we don't see this clear of a timeline with a victim and a perpetrator.
Yeah, this case has a lot of evidence.
But let's talk about this Maxwell guy for a second. So Maxwell Anderson grew up as the only child of the president of an insurance company. He attended Catholic Memorial High School on the outskirts of Milwaukee and played junior varsity football there before graduating and moving on to work for two of his father's insurance companies. One source claims that he also held a position as an aviation electronics technician in the United States Navy and was fired for misconduct, but this has not been confirmed. Maxwell worked for Anderson's Insurance Associates in New Berlin, Wisconsin, as well as Insurance Associates of America. Both of these companies are owned by Maxwell's father, who is Steven Anderson, earning Maxwell the title of, quote, Nepo Baby Killer in the press. His father, Steven, eventually relocated to South Carolina and then Florida, owning lavish homes in both. And Maxwell left the insurance business to start bartending, though it's unknown whether he left due to disciplinary reasons or not. One friend who visited his home a few months before the murder recalls that it was in a constant state of shambles. It appeared as if he had been in the middle of multiple renovation projects that he would never finish. He had even been digging what he described as an underground basement in his backyard, which was measured at 5 feet long and 6 feet deep.
So a grave?
Essentially.
That is a grave.
Well, the friend actually found this very strange, as he already had a large basement that was attached to the house. And I guess it is worth noting that another friend of his took to Facebook to defend this project, saying that Maxwell had been simply working on a storage cellar for dried and canned goods. But I don't know, it seems pretty weird. But the rest of his home projects are harder to defend, because one friend remembers Maxwell asking if she wanted to see the basement, which she declined, saying, "I got a little bit of a tour," and he was like, "Do you want to see the basement?" And I was like, "No, I'm okay." He's like, "It's creepy down there," and I was like, "No, it's okay."
How is that going to entice her? It's creepy down there. Doesn't that sound nice?
Yeah, no. Come on down to my creepy basement. Super sick.
Well, according to reports from police, Maxwell has what has been referred to as a fully loaded sex dungeon in the basement of his home that he owns on the southwest side of Milwaukee.
So by creepy basement, he actually meant that.
Creepy sex dungeon basement. It is so, and especially to say you're trying to lure a girl down there and there is no mention of a sex dungeon. You're just saying, "Oh, let me show you my basement." Like, how many women has he tried to lure down there?
Well, it's just really creepy knowing what he has done, you know, in the aftermath of that.
And, you know, his behavior well before this has been very disturbing, to say the least. So Basically, friends and coworkers alike and family describe him as erratic and immature, alleging that he had a drinking problem and that he would often drink on the job. You know, when he was bartending, I don't know if this went back to his insurance days, but at least when he was bartending.
Probably. I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, exactly. But his current manager claimed that he was well-liked and a hard worker. Now, at the time of Sade's murder, Maxwell was working as a bartender for Victor's Nightclub in the Yankee Hill neighborhood of Milwaukee. His criminal record, though, is lengthy, and it includes speculations of both substance abuse issues and struggles with mental health. In 2014, while staying with a relative in Colorado, he became distressed and angry for an undisclosed or unknown reason, and he actually trapped his relative in their room while screaming and throwing items around the house. When the relative called the police, Maxwell stole their car and fled the scene before crashing into somebody's patio. He also became enraged in a physical altercation with a relative that resulted in Maxwell breaking his collarbone and the relative sustaining multiple broken ribs. And family members later claimed that they believed he had been under the influence of drugs at the time this happened. For these infractions, Maxwell was charged with disorderly conduct. And then the following year, Maxwell was staying with another relative and was told that he needed to properly clean up after himself. With this and the relative reportedly suggesting that Maxwell seek help for mental health, Maxwell flew into a rage, throwing a glass, punching a hole through a wall, and smashing the cell phones of the two family members who lived there to prevent them from calling the police. One of them actually had to run to a neighbor's house to be able to call for help.
I mean, it just seems like this guy is such a brat. Like, if he doesn't get his way, he just flies into a rage and becomes so pissed off. It's like, get your shit together, man.
Yeah, that's actually a good thing to point out, that it seems like when he doesn't get his way, it really upsets him. Obviously, there are also some mental health issues that play into this, but yeah, this is just some of the things that people have experienced at the hands of Maxwell Anderson.
Well, his legal issues continued when in 2019, while still on probation, he became engaged in a verbal altercation with a woman on a sidewalk in Milwaukee, though her identity and the cause of this fight have not been revealed. When a passerby attempted to intervene on behalf of the woman, Maxwell assaulted the man, pinning him down on the ground while punching him. And for this, he was charged with battery and disorderly conduct, put on probation again, and ordered to maintain steady employment, perform community service, submit to drug screenings, and pay restitution to the victim. But somehow, Maxwell again managed to avoid prison time. He has also twice been convicted of drunk driving and once of driving on a suspended license. During his probation for these crimes, while ordered to be sober and submit to random drug testing, he tested positive for cocaine, marijuana, and alcohol. Like, Maxwell does not give a fuck about probation at all. And he was released from probation just a year before committing Sade's murder.
Publicly, however, Maxwell maintained a very different persona, frequently sharing pictures of his home improvement projects and his dogs. You know, little does anybody know what he's actually building in his home.
And that he's a monster.
Yeah, it seemed like even though he could be strange and volatile towards some people, he didn't show that side of him to, you know, most of his coworkers or his friends. So on April 4th, 3 days after Sade's murder, he posted casually on Facebook that he was volunteering for Feeding America in a few days and asked if anyone wanted to join him. But he would never get to do that because that same day, Thursday, April 4th, 2024, at 1:16 p.m., Maxwell Anderson was pulled over following a routine traffic stop after his license plates had been flagged because they were looking for him. So he was arrested in the street for the murder of 19-year-old Sade Robinson while onlookers watched and recorded. A search of his home was also conducted that day, and the results only brought on more questions, and for good reason. During this search, blood was found on his bed, as well as on the staircase walls leading down to the basement where his sex dungeon is located. And in it, he allegedly displays restraints, handcuffs, and a sex swing. Now, obviously, we're talking about all this stuff in a negative connotation just because of what we can imagine could have happened, or maybe the non-consensual things, you know?
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's no problem. You can do whatever you want to do sexually, but obviously in this context, it's very, very different.
Yeah, this is a disturbing kind of sex dungeon in our eyes just because of who this guy is, so I just wanted to make that very clear here. Now, according to one of Maxwell's neighbors, the small windows of the basement were boarded up so that they couldn't be viewed from the street. So he very much does not want anybody to accidentally see or purposefully see whatever is going on down there. She claims their neighborhood is normally safe and quiet and is in utter disbelief at the events that have unfolded at Maxwell's hand, saying, quote, "It never crossed my mind that there could be something like that here. It's just sick. It's depraved, and I can't stop thinking about it." Investigators also located multiple containers of gasoline hidden in the basement, potentially used to set Sade's car ablaze. The Anderson family secured legal representation for Maxwell immediately after his arrest on April 4th. And about 3 weeks later, on Monday, April 22nd, 2024, so 4 days before this episode comes out, he and his attorney, Tony Cotton, appeared before a judge to enter a plea. 33-year-old Maxwell is being charged with first-degree homicide, mutilation of a corpse, and arson. He pleaded not guilty to all three charges and waived his right to a preliminary hearing in hopes of being looked at more favorably by the prosecution.
Maxwell's father, Stephen, released a statement via the family's legal counsel that read, quote, "On behalf of myself and my family, I would like to express our deepest sympathy and heartfelt condolences to the family and loved ones of Sade Robinson. We are shocked and devastated by her senseless death. To Sade's mother and father, words cannot express our sorrow for the incomprehensible pain and grief that you're going through. We join the entire community in celebrating Sade's life. Other than that, the family have remained pretty quiet and have been tight-lipped on details for legal reasons."
But Sade's mom spoke on behalf of all of us, saying, quote, "This sick son of a bitch hurt my baby. This sick son of a bitch is going to pay. This is justice for Sade. Who would do something like this to my beautiful baby? She hurt nobody. She harmed nobody." On Saturday, April 6th, 2024, so 2 days after Maxwell's arrest and 5 days after Sade's murder, police set out canvassing the vicinity in which Sade's car was found, which was at the intersection of West Lisbon Avenue and North 29th Street. It was there that they came upon another startling discovery. Sade's foot that had pink nail polish that matched the leg recovered at Warnemont Park. It had been disposed of near a playground in West Milwaukee, just blocks from where her car was found, 20 whole minutes from where her leg was discarded. In the brush by a set of train tracks adjacent to 31st Street and Galena Playground, near where the foot was recovered, detectives also found discarded human flesh believed to belong to Sade. On Thursday, April 18th, another discovery was made when more body parts washed up on the beach of Lake Michigan. South of both Milwaukee proper and Warnemont Park in the separate city of South Milwaukee, a torso and an arm washed ashore on the Lake Michigan beach near Marina Road. And this was discovered by a passerby who was just strolling the normally very quiet beach at 7:37 a.m. that morning. Law enforcement has vowed to find the rest of her remains using sonar detection boats along the coastline in hopes of laying all of her body to rest. On Monday of this week, April 22nd, the case received its latest bombshell revelation. The blood found in Maxwell's home, you know, the one that was on his bed, on the wall leading down to the basement, did not belong to Sade. So this only begs more questions. Where was she killed if not in this home? And of course, if the blood does not belong to Sade, whose blood is it? And does Maxwell have more victims?
I mean, this guy could be a serial killer.
Oh yeah, it's definitely possible. And because this is such a developing story, we don't know yet if there is other evidence that Sade's murder and dismemberment took place in his home, because to me, it feels like it would have had to have. Like, I don't know where else unless he has a second home, but the fact that the blood wasn't hers and that he has this basement and clearly has behavioral and mental health issues and has for a long time, I would be surprised if Sade was the first woman that he killed.
Oh yeah, it seems like, I mean, it's very possible that there are others. I mean, especially when we're talking about this other person's blood, whoever's blood it is. But yeah, I mean, very alarming here.
Yeah, I mean, this development is so new. So whenever there is more information regarding who it belongs to, whether it's Maxwell himself or somebody else, we will definitely do an update episode because I have a feeling there's a lot to come with this story.
In an interview with Nancy Grace, Sade's mom said through tears, quote, "This isn't normal. This is a 2024 Jeffrey Dahmer." And Sheena also strongly believes that he is to blame for the disappearance of other young black women in the area, and that if he killed like this once, he is capable of committing many more murders.
And we both agree with her there for sure. But there's one interesting thing that I want to mention is how many mistakes he made during the disposal, because he was caught by cameras and witnesses. So if he did this before, I would be surprised that he's not already in prison. But maybe the circumstances for other women were different and he was able to be sneakier about it. I'm sure with this news, people will come forward with a bunch of tips about Maxwell.
Well, obviously we don't know if there are other victims. This is pure speculation. But one thing I will say is that over time, a lot of serial killers become sloppy. They start making mistakes. And even if they have killed numerous amounts of people, this is typically what we see. We see them make mistakes, and that's how they get caught.
Very true.
But for now, police remain pretty quiet on the details, but are likely testing the blood against the DNA that they have in unsolved cases in hopes that it leads to a resolution. But it's possible that the blood belongs to Maxwell himself, and that he was injured in the attack on Sade, which would be very easy to find out.
Oh, definitely. And in terms of a motive, we all remain at a loss. I mean, it seems most likely that they were having a fun date, and then they went back to Maxwell's house to continue their evening, and either he made an advance on her that she rebuked, and he got angry and killed her, or he planned all along to kill her that night. Sade's family and friends themselves are still conducting searches in hopes that the rest of her body parts will be found and that she can properly be laid to rest. For now, her memorial is tentatively set for May 9th, 2024, and a family friend is raising money on GoFundMe to assist Sheena with all of these costs. So if you would like to donate alongside us, the link is in the description of this episode. And so far, they've raised over $60,000. Through activism and community involvement, Sheena hopes to raise awareness for all the missing and murdered young women in the area, especially if her daughter's killer is responsible for any of them. She's said that it's become her purpose and her calling since her daughter was taken from her. She says she keeps telling herself, "You will continue to be a voice, not only for yourself, but all the black and brown girls that continue to go missing." On April 19th, 2024, the family held a vigil in a local park where they asked attendees to wear pink, which was Sade's favorite color. Through tears, Sade's 16-year-old sister said to the crowd, quote, "Anybody who knew Sade knew that she was different from everybody else. Everything she had by herself. She went through a lot, but she never let that break her. She was the strongest person I know. She was the most beautiful person I know. She never deserved this." A makeshift shrine, also decorated completely in pink, sprung up where Sade was last seen alive in front of the home of Maxwell Anderson. Pink blankets and tablecloths were laid out on the lawn, and messages of love to Sade were scribbled on the sidewalk in pink chalk. And I love so much that everybody is going to his house and doing this. It's amazing. Like, there are balloons, flowers, stuffed animals, candles, and dozens of pictures outside of his residence. But sadly, one morning they had been removed, which the community blamed Steven Anderson for, alleging he sought to bring attention away from his son's misdeeds. For now, Sade's loved ones will have to await answers as Maxwell and his legal team prepare to go to trial. Maxwell Anderson is currently being held on a $5 million bond and is due back in court on May 16th. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to episode 400 of Going West.
Yes, I can't believe it. 400 episodes of Going West. By the way, I just wanted to say thank you for putting up with my shitty voice today, because I'm a little bit sick, so I'm clogged up in the nose. But I did my very best, and I appreciate you guys understanding. Also, I just wanted to say thank you for listening to this episode. Make sure that you share it, and if you want to donate to the GoFundMe, like Daphne said, it will be in the link to the description of this episode.
Yes, thank you guys so much for tuning in. This is such an important story to talk about because, like I said as well, it feels like there is so much more to uncover. And again, our hearts really go out to Sade's family. Now you see why, for everything that she likely endured that night.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly crazy, and I know that there's going to be more things that come out about this case. And, you know, we'll try to keep you guys updated the best that we can. When the trial happens.
Yeah, maybe some more information will come out on May 16th after his next court date. And of course, police might be releasing more and more information that they're finding in his house and just in their investigation. And again, I feel like we will definitely be doing an update episode on this one. So thank you guys so much, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
All right, guys. So for everybody out there in the world,
don't be a stranger.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.